Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised 2nd Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 308 of Heroes Unlimited. We're in the psionic abilities section. We're just wrapping up the sensitive psionic powers. As we discussed yesterday, these are for sort of touchy-feely psychics, soft psychic skills psychics. It's for gathering information and, you know, being more in tune with your environment than other psychics. I don't mean to poo-poo these powers. These are useful powers, but they imply a certain kind of character. Now, yesterday I talked about the Commander Troy version of this character archetype, the I sense great blah, blah, blah type of character. However, more broadly, characters who specialize in information or divination, that's a common mental powers trope, a common psionic trope, and there are lots of different ways to play it, right? Like, if you've ever played Dungeons & Dragons with somebody who's specialized in divination as a character, I mean, not that I haven't played with players who specialize in divination, I am from Northern California, but if you've played with somebody who plays a diviner, you'll know that there are lots of different ways to go about it. Like, some people are very scientific and strategic, and then other people want to play, you know, the flaky tarot card version of this. It's not always apparent in any given role-playing system what's the best way to play this, like, information specialist, psychic, sensitive, brain powers character. And oftentimes, as I think I may have alluded to last time, the version of this character that's actually most useful is the one that is least in tune with the game you're playing. So, like, if you're playing a superhero game where we're expecting lots of fisticuffs and jumping over skyscrapers and all that stuff, then being a character who specializes in understanding people's motives and feelings can actually be very powerful because plots and character defenses aren't really calibrated to defend against that. So you can kind of end run around a lot of problems that arise that you can't punch your way through. We see a similar thing on this page. And in fact, we see a combination of information gathering powers that are so amazingly good that I guess I have to say they're the dumbest thing on this page, even though they're a fantastic character option, because they betray a lack of foresight about how the realities of a Heroes Unlimited campaign will interact with these genre tropes of the psychic character. Let me get down to specifics. The bad power on this page, as far as I'm concerned, is Sixth Sense. You would think this would be a winner, right? Like, if you're playing a character who, you're a psionic, but you don't want to stand there touching your forehead, almost fainting all session, you want to be in the mix, right? You want to be hitting people with telekinesis. You would think that Sixth Sense is a great psychic sensitive power that you should take because it has combat applications. But in fact, the limitations on Sixth Sense are pretty rough. Quote, this power gives the psychic a precognitive flash of imminent danger to himself or somebody near him within 90 feet. The character will not know what the danger is or where it will come from, nor who it will be directed at when in a group. All he will know is that something life-threatening will happen within the next 60 seconds. The sixth sense is triggered automatically, without the consent of the psychic, whenever his life is in great peril, or the life of somebody he greatly cares about, friend, loved one, etc. Forgive my inflection there, that sentence ended unexpectedly. The sixth sense is only triggered by an unexpected life-threatening event, which is already set into motion, and will happen any second. And then it points out that if you're out of ISP, because every instance of this costs you 2 ISP, if you're out, then the power doesn't work. So this is like a lot of restrictions. This is not like Spider-Man's spider sense, which depending on the issue, it can be like, oh, my wife's about to spot me leaving a dirty dish in the sink, spider sense, save my ass. About to fill in the wrong bubble on my chemistry test, spider sense. This is much stricter than that. This is imminent, life-threatening danger that is already in motion and will occur within the next 60 seconds. So let's say that somebody has got into their head to fire a long-range missile at you. You pissed off the wrong robot. There's a missile coming your way. First of all, if the missile is already in the air but currently more than 90 feet away from you, no sixth sense. It only goes out 90 feet. Number two, if the missile is already in the air but isn't going to hit you for more than 1 minute, so it's, you know, 70 seconds away, no reaction. Sixth sense does not help you. If the missile doesn't do enough damage to gravely imperil your life, which is likely for a superhero, maybe not so likely for a psionic, but who knows, you took some physical skills. I mean, it's well known that it typically takes a few missiles to take down a trained boxer, so who's to say? If the missile isn't enough to gravely imperil your life, no sixth sense. What if this robot you pissed off hasn't fired the missile yet? He's just, you know, happens to be shopping at the same supermarket as you, and you're about to bump into him, like in the freezer section, and then he's going to throw down. Despite your psychic powers, you could walk right into his big metal chest before your sixth sense goes off, because there is not yet an in-motion threat to your life. So this is extremely narrow. This sixth sense goes off if and only if that missile is 90 feet away and in motion and about to hit you in the head. And in that scenario, your sixth sense warns you about that missile that's in the air 90 feet away, costs you 2 inner strength points, and then gives you a +3 to dodge. A mere +3 to dodge. For protecting your friends, it's even worse, because it says here, quote, whenever his life is in great peril, or the life of somebody he greatly cares about, friend, loved one, etc. This is an awkward conversation to have with your teammates when you're doing like the tactical review of how we operate as a group. Like, okay, so I have sixth sense, so I can help protect us from surprise attacks. Yes, it does apply to the team, but not the whole team. Like, I have to like you. it's a difficult thing to broach, but like, I've prepared a list. These are the members of the superhero team who, my feeling is, I can't guarantee your safety from missiles. We're not in that place. I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm just being honest. If a missile were flying at the nuclear woman, who has owed me $200 for 3 years now, if it hit her, would feel nothing, psychically or otherwise. And if we're going into battle, she needs to know that. So yeah, this is not a great investment. And in fact, the fact that it costs you ISP every time it goes off could even make it a liability, because like, it is only 2 inner strength points, but they're a fairly limited resource. And there's actually a note at the end of the power, quote, the character cannot be surprised by a sneak attack from behind. Now, on the upside, what this seems to indicate to me is your sixth sense, whatever its other requirements, whatever its other weird rules are, won't let you get punked out from behind. Maybe even if the attack isn't life-threatening. Maybe there's just a special provision. If you're about to get punched in the back of the head, your sixth sense just goes off. However, surely this costs you 2 ISP. And if you're up against a foe who is going to repeatedly attempt to strike you from behind, you know, say your foes have encircled you, and so one of them is always hitting you from behind, not only are you getting stabbed or punched or whatever in the back, but every time they hit you, in addition to physical damage, it's costing you internal strength points from your stupid fucking spider sense going off. Like, that guy, he's still behind you. He's still punching your back. You feel that guy punching your back? He's behind you. You're in danger. If this guy's got 4 attacks per melee, 4 melees per minute, that's 16 attacks, 16 times 2, you could be bleeding inner strength points at like 32 per minute in a fight with somebody who's staying behind you. You can't afford that shit in battle. So sixth sense, really a terrible proposition. Contrary to what you would expect in this fairly combat-oriented game, you don't want sixth sense, which I feel is nerfed, which I feel is weak, because I think the author realized how useful this power could potentially be in the Palladium system, which is like combat heavy. Anybody with a gun can do a ton of damage. So, you know, the author put the limiters on. Where the author didn't put the limiters on, and I think the dumbest thing on this page, is 2 powers that don't seem like Heroes Unlimited powers: speed reading and total recall. So speed reading is a simple power. It costs you 2 inner strength points, just like sixth sense, lasts for 3 minutes per level, and it just allows you to read really fast, 30 pages per minute, and you might half or quarter that rate for highly technical works. And your comprehension and retention is just the same as your normal reading ability would have it. Not a huge combat power, doesn't seem overpowered for 2 inner strength points. However, the total recall ability, also on this page, that's a real winner, much more of a winner than I think the author realized. This ability is permanent. It is always in effect. It lists an inner strength point cost of 2. I don't know exactly what that means for a permanent power. Maybe you permanently reduce your ISP score by that much. I don't know. The key thing is what it does. It's just what it says on the tin. Quote, the character remembers every word he reads or hears or everything he sees. Specific blocks of information can be recalled in perfect detail at will. Each block of information costs 3 ISP to recall in absolute detail. And it goes on to say that if all your ISP have been spent already, then you've got to roll percentile to see if you remembered exactly. Like, you have a 50-50 chance of getting everything, a 20% chance that you only get the basic concept of what you're recalling, and about a 30% chance that you forget the details, but you clearly understand the basics. Typically, you'll be able to scrounge up 3 ISP in your moment of need. Total recall applies to speed reading, however. So if you've got both of these powers, then anything you speed read is with you forever. And where this really matters, where this really counts, and where I think the author really did not consider how this fits in a campaign, is all the fucking downtime that these other character classes need. When you're a psionic, you don't have to go begging and scraping to your psionic master to teach you another psionic power, like wizards do. As we discussed in the magic section, if you're a wizard and you'd like to learn, you know, a fireball spell, you can't just retire to your sanctum, give it some thought, and come out slinging fireballs. At least not under the standard rules. There are some expedited rules. Under the standard rules, if you want that spell, you got to go seek out like some supernatural being or your ancient master, and you got to spend a long ass time in boring contemplation to prove that you have the maturity and responsibility. I'm sorry, to pretend you have the maturity and responsibility to learn the fireball spell. Likewise, we were in the hardware section. We were talking about how long it takes to build things. Gadgets that the team is really going to want from you, like if you're trying to build, you know, a Quinjet for the team, your big team vehicle or your big computer system for the team HQ, it's going to take months or maybe a year or 2 years of downtime. Maybe not all at once, but certainly you're going to need to take that much accumulated downtime before the project is over. So very likely, like for the character to be effective, you're going to have to talk to the rest of the group and say, hey guys, if you want that supercar, if you want that team jet, we just got to agree we're not going to do a lot of high stress crime fighting for like 8 to 12 months, and then we'll sort of pick up the campaign again then. And then the wizard and the team is like, okay, that's cool. I really do want that jet. Let me go hit up my ancient master for some wisdom and go live a humble life of contemplation for a year. When we come back, you'll have the jet. I'll have the fireball spell. We're good to go. Now we pan the camera over to unassuming Cindy the psychic, right? Just a sensitive psychic, just a pantsuit wearing, timid, minimal combat skills, Cindy the psychic. A psychic with sensitive powers, including total recall and speed reading. Do you know how much Cindy can fucking read and retain forever in a day at second level? 540 pages per hour, permanently retained. If you take a year off to build the team a super jet at second level of the campaign, right? And that's what the hardware character spends their time doing over a year of downtime. And Cindy decides to just like hit the internet and go on a Wikipedia binge. In that year, Cindy could read and retain every English Wikipedia article for the rest of her life. That's a huge amount of information. And of course, in a campaign, you probably wouldn't do this. I mean, it'd be a neat trick. It'd be neat to say that you're spending your year of downtime doing this and then demand from the GM in every situation, if I can find information on Wikipedia out of character, then in character, I can instantly recall it. That'd be kind of fun. But for power gaming purposes, you wouldn't read all of Wikipedia. You don't need to know all that shit about Pokemon and the production of Star Trek episodes and barely notable athletes. What you would do is make yourself a wish list, a list of books and online documents that contain useful information. I'm thinking of indices of contact information, tech manuals, language learning resources, public city and county records, if you have a campaign that tends to stick around one place. That's a tremendous amount of useful information you could cram in. Not to mention a lot of skills. Like, I know there's more to skills than just memory retention, but a lot of information you'd otherwise have to make a skill roll for, you could just straight up memorize and always have at your fingertips. I mean, hit up some school yearbooks and just remember all those faces. And keep in mind too, it's not just like rote, you know, like it's not just a photographic memory. You do retain and understand all that you read because you've got speed reading as well as photographic memory. So surely this is going to give you bonuses to any kind of study that can be done from a book. Over the course of a year, a nice dirty trick would be to ask your GM how long it would take to learn a skill in downtime from a book, something you can learn without a teacher just from reading. With speed reading, you should be able to cut that to about a 60th, given the average reading rate that people have. Anyway, normally I try not to pick really good combinations of abilities as the dumbest thing on a page, but in this case, I think it's justified because what makes these so good is that this section does not envision the kind of downtime that the other sections require. If this really were just a game of fistfights and mecha combat and laser beams and stuff, then these powers would be good, but not great. But because other power categories absolutely demand copious downtime, the combination of these powers is way, way better than the author seems to realize. Cindy the Psychic is going to be rapidly approaching omniscience by the time the team builds its garage full of super vehicles, which is cool for Cindy and cool for you if you like to play Cindy the Psychic in a superhero game, which admittedly is really fun. But it's nonetheless, from a design perspective, the dumbest thing on this page. And I guess the honorary dumbest thing on this page is that the boring way to be a psychic turns out to be the best way to be a psychic in this instance, although I'm a fan of the boring way, as is so often the case, so I'm not offended. On the topic of the boring way to be a psychic, though, join me next time for a truly underwhelming start to the quote-unquote super psionic powers on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.